This is something that has been on my heart to talk about for a long time, except the timing was never right, and I believe like the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, this is the time to talk about it. In 2 Corinthians, now we're going to be going to several different portions of Scripture. In chapter 5 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat." I don't like that word judgment. It's not that kind of judgment. It's an evaluation. Before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good in nature, and that is the nature of God, or bad in nature, and that is apart from the nature of God. And in 2 John, and verse 8, the Word of God says, "Look unto yourselves, that we not lose those things which we wrought, but that we receive a full reward." And what we're going to talk about today is, I think, a little understood, but an extremely important doctrine. And I believe it's little understood because it's simply little taught. I have heard only one person ever teach on this doctrine. That was Pastor Stevens. But yet, it is an incredibly important doctrine because it is going to affect my state for all of eternity. Any doctrine that impacts my state, and really all doctrine does, but some doctrine does it to a greater degree than others, because some doctrines awaken me to the reality of things. Any doctrine that affects greatly my state for all eternity is an extremely important doctrine. Now, clearly, the doctrine of salvation is the most important in that regard. But there are others for believers that are extremely important. Because it is possible to receive a full reward, and it is possible to not receive a full reward. And I believe that unfortunately in today's Christianity, because of the nature of the teaching that goes on, where the Bible says that in the end times truth shall fall into the streets, a full reward will be enjoyed by very few. I do not know what my full reward will be, because my full reward will not be measurable until the books are closed. Paul the Apostle does not know his full reward, because the Apostles' teaching is still going on. The dispensation of grace, which Paul wrote about himself, as it was given to him unto the Gentiles, the dispensation, that dispensation is still continuing. His rewards are not yet tallied. I do not know what my rewards will bring. Maybe they will be few. I hope not. I hope they are abundant. But I do not know. There are people in heaven who will be extremely highly rewarded who on earth appeared to be nothing. For example, I think of the two women who were invalids who prayed in their home for a revival in New England. The result of their prayers was an international revival where the finished work was preached all over the world, where churches produced churches that produced churches, and so on. where countless souls were led to Christ and countless believers disciplined and discipled. Lives were transformed. Those two women, their full reward, although they died a few decades ago, their full reward cannot be measured. Not yet. It is possible, I do not know, but it is possible that perhaps the person who won Billy Graham to Christ may be one only Billy Graham to Christ. Yet the reward that is received by every person that was led by Billy Graham to Christ is going to belong also to that person. It is a full reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, there are two principles that are being brought out here. There is the individual accountability, how I respond to God, and the work that it's talking about is fruit. I am rewarded according to the fruit that my life produces, that God is allowed to produce in my life. But also, there is a component where one waters, one sows, one waters. And they are one. And those two, neither one of them alone is anything. But together, God gives the increase. They shall share in the reward. So he that sows and he that waters both will receive the same reward. Now, it is impossible to tell what my portion will bring. What I need to do is I need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to know God. I have to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. So as God leads me, His heart and His nature are revealed through my life, though I may not be aware of it, and usually I will not be. If I'm too aware of what is coming through me, then I'm usually too aware of myself, and nothing is coming through me. Now, that does not mean that I cannot be aware that I am anointed. That does not mean that I cannot be aware that God is speaking to my heart and then I am speaking what He gives to me. But that is really a God awareness. That is not a self-awareness. That is simply recognizing the source of the words or the actions. So there is a difference. But if I am looking at you and I say, it's producing this, then I'm not looking at anything at all, because I can't see into the heart. Now, that doctrine of full reward is crucial. Because apart from being rightly related to God within the body of Christ, taking my joint and supplying where every joint does supply, I cannot receive that full reward, because not only will my part not provide or supply, my part, my portion will not experience the provision that is supplied from the other portions. Now, that does not mean that I live in the church building. That does not mean I cannot go to work apart from other people in the body. That does mean that I walk in the gifts and the calling of Christ. And as I walk in the gift and the calling of Christ, my portion provides, supplies, and it complements the other portions that are being provided and supplied by the other portions in the body of Christ that are walking in their gifts and their calling. And so together we make up the functioning body of Christ. You see, that full reward is simply a reward for being a functioning body of Christ. In a way, it's like Christ puts on a garment, and the garment covers all those portions that the garment is supposed to cover. And if I am correctly related to the other portions, because I am correctly related to God, then the garment will cover me too. And therein is the full reward. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 41, the Word of God says, "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory." In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many righteous to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." You see, not all believers are equal in heaven. Heaven is not a place of equality. As a matter of fact, heaven is a place of incredible inequality. However, heaven is also a place where everyone will have the joy of God. They will be happy to the maximum of their capacity. The difference comes in the capacity. So that person who has a small capacity, because they have not made wise choices on earth, albeit a born-again believer, will go to heaven, and they will experience the fullness of their capacity to receive the joy of God. And they will be very happy there. But they will not have the same capacity as the believer who responded to the initiations of the Holy Spirit, who responded to the love of God, who got to know Christ, who laid down his life, didn't preserve himself in his pursuit to get to know his Savior. That believer will have a much greater capacity for the joy of God and will receive a different reward than the believer who made wrong decisions, albeit both will receive to the maximum that each has a capacity for. So as I walk on earth, what I am doing is I am carving out for myself a capacity that I will then have in heaven. You see, they differ as the stars. Some stars are very bright. Some stars are very dull. Some believers will reflect God's glory in heaven, and it is a clothing of light, a garment of light. They will reflect this glory, it's called Shekinah glory, very brightly. Usually these are the same believers, I believe, that reflect it now. You see, when we get to heaven, when we see Him, we will be like Him, yes. But as He is, so are we on earth. So the believer who is like Him now will be like Him then. And they will have the capacity to receive the fullness of His glory. On the other hand, the believer who has rejected the fundamental points of a life with God, the Word of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, a laid down life to pick up a cross, whereby resurrection life flows through them and in them, where God's life produces life in them, the believer who has rejected those things, or simply not received them, will not receive a full reward. You see, that whole concept of having the right pastor-teacher, for example, is an extremely important principle. Because the right pastor-teacher, to a very large extent, is going to determine my eternal state. Because according to my choices and how I am available to be led by the Holy Spirit to the right pastor, that will determine my full reward. Now in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41, let's start in verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That means on a personal level, there is my number one point. I need to have the cross produced in my life. That cross will not harm me. That cross will release me. That cross will allow God's life to flow through me, which is better than my human life, my natural life, because it is God's abundant life. So right there is my first thing. If I have abundant life, that is the beginning of an abundant reward. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth, take up with, this means to receive, take up with a hand, or to not refuse the friendship of. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth a prophet, and the word prophet there is talking about a pastor, not an Old Testament prophet, but a pastor, one who proclaims the word. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, and that means for the sake of the office of that prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. In other words, if I receive a pastor as my pastor, and I receive him in his office as pastor, where I am properly related to that man in the divine table of organization, whereby I recognize the spiritual authority that is put on that person, and then submit myself to that authority as is fitting, not in picky-any decisions like, that person does not come up to me and say, oh, you should buy this car, or you should go to this place, or you should buy that house, or whatever. But the time when he does have that right is if I fall into immorality, he has to come to me alone and correct me, because that is in the divine table of organization, and sometimes discipline may be called for by the church. But except for situations like that, it's not the person who tries to manage my life for me, but it is the pulpit of that person. You see, in the name of the prophet, in the office of that prophet. The office of that prophet comes from the pulpit of that prophet. In other words, I submit myself to his authority as a pastor preaching the Word of God. I submit myself to his instruction. He that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. When I do that, then I receive the pastor's reward. So whatever reward that pastor receive, I receive it also, because I have properly submitted myself to that man. And it's the prophet that I submit to there. It's the prophet I receive. It's the person. This is why only the humble will hear. Because it takes a great deal of humility for me to subject myself willingly to another person. But that humility and that subjection comes through the Spirit of God. People sometimes will place themselves under the wrong person. It's not that they lack the humility, it's that they lack the discernment and the leading. The Holy Spirit will not lead me to be subjected to a pastor who does not preach the Word of God. He will not lead me to someone who does not preach the finished work, who does not preach grace, mercy, love of God, who does not preach the full counsel. That will not be the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it is contrary to the purpose of God. The purpose of God is that I may know Him. Well, under the teaching of somebody who is not teaching the full counsel of God, I will not get to know Him. And the Holy Spirit will not bring me there. Who brought me there? Well, it can be the enemy that brings me there, but very frequently it's just myself. My own natural evaluation brings me there. It's a church on the corner. They're close by. One church is just the same as another. I'll go there. No way, baby. No way. Not the same at all. Completely different. They may call themselves Christian, but do they preach the full counsel? So he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So what I do is I receive the reward that the pastor receives if I am properly submitted in God's order to that person. And likewise, I receive the same reward as all the other believers who are properly submitted to that person, because every joint will supply. And now all of a sudden I've received the pastor, and I receive his reward, and I've received the righteous man, the body of Christ, and I receive their reward also in that corporate body. Now that's not the universal body of Christ, that is a local assembly body of Christ. So, for example, and I can only use our ministry as an example because I don't know other ministries. That's not to say that ours is better or worse or different or whatever, but I don't know others, so I use ours. In our ministry, if you are properly submitted to a greater grace pastor, and he is the pastor that you are led to, and you are properly related to the body because you are properly related to the word that is preached, that person will receive that pastor's reward, but not only that pastor's reward, but also his pastor's reward. And usually that ends up being Pastor Stevens's. Why? Because if you receive a prophet in the office, because of the office of the prophet, in the name of the prophet, you will receive that prophet's reward. Not only do you receive his reward, he will receive yours. Not only does he receive yours and you receive his, in our ministry, we, those of us who are called and properly submitted in proper order, will also receive the rewards of, for example, the pastor in China, or the pastor in South Korea, or the pastor in Zambia, or the pastor in Kazakhstan, or Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Sweden, Finland. we will receive their rewards likewise, because we have received a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, and we will receive the righteous man's reward. So we have the pastor and we have the local assembly, and we will receive and share the reward, and each one of us will receive the full reward of the pastor and of the local assembly, and the local assembly and pastor will receive the full reward that our joint supplies. It is very important for the believer to be rightly related to his pastor and his congregation that he is called into, that his portion supply. Now, sometimes they may not be a high profile portion. Sometimes it may be. Not every portion can be high profile, nor should be. People with the gift of helps, for example. I know one man, very few people ever saw him, but he had a tremendous gift of helps. One of the things he would do when Pastor Stevens was still healthy enough to do this is he would, when he went home after a rap or something, and he'd go home, or maybe he'd go to an after rap somewhere away from the church, like closer to his house, and maybe he'd stop at Dunk's. He would often take missionaries and different people with him in the car and talk to them and counsel them, answer questions or whatever that needed time with him. And there, you know, they would go with him in his car, and they would have no way to get home. So this man followed, and he would take these missionaries back to the church where they left their own car. Well, you know, that seems like such a simple thing, but without his little ministry there, and he didn't take it as a ministry, it was just a genuine kindness to those people because he had concern for them, and he knew there was a need. But in truth, that was a ministry. Be careful, by the way, when you love somebody, that you never, that you don't get into the mindset of "this is my ministry." That can really alienate the heart where love is not shed abroad, and it becomes a works program. That's not a good place to be. But this man would drive all those people back. Well, if he wasn't there to drive them back, they couldn't get counsel for their churches or whatever, lives, whatever. And let's say it was a pastor, and that counsel made all the difference in several people's lives, and they might have gone on to the mission field and so on. Can you imagine the fullness of that man's reward for the simple act of being available to drive someone, to give them a ride? While he was a joint in the body of Christ that richly provided and richly supplied, albeit very, very invisible. The prayer warrior who prays in their prayer closet or in their bedroom that nobody sees, but they pray faithfully, and they have a gift and a calling in the body of Christ. They are absolutely vital because nothing happens without prayer. Well, that person is an important portion of the body of Christ, although they are very seldom seen or heard, and they are very low profile. That person will receive the full reward of that body, although they were not often seen, known. They were an important portion that supplied. The pastor may be high profile, but without the body, where is his office? There is none. It is very important for every joint to properly supply. The fullness of the reward will come through me being rightly related to my calling within the body. Part of the fullness of reward comes in Hebrews chapter 10. And this is one where a lot of believers, Sunday morning Christians, are going to be mighty surprised by this. Oh, they may go to church on Sunday morning and they're very faithful about it. But the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting, that's encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Believers who receive a full reward are those who take hearing the word of God seriously and being in the fellowship of believers in the assembly where the word of God is being preached. Now, there are people who cannot be there physically because of things like ailment. And sometimes people can't be there because of different legitimate reasons, but I think most of the times the reasons are simply of preference. And those people who cannot be there legitimately, well, there is a way for them to still receive, whether it be by tape or disc or internet or whatever the church provides. Most churches provide some other method that if you couldn't be there, you can still receive. But it's a gather together, not go and listen afterwards. Gather together much more. Not just a little bit more, not just, okay, another day, much more as you see the day approaching. It is the manner of some to go to church and hear the Word of God on Sunday morning, and that's where it ends. And then they might hang out and like go fishing or whatever, I don't know, whatever, with some of the guys from church. That's not fellowship. I mean, it's not, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not fellowship. Fellowship is where the life of God is being shared among the body. That's fellowship. That's where you edify, build each other up. Not where you're sitting and talking football, although there's nothing wrong about in that, but that's not fellowship. It's building one another up in the most holy faith. That is fellowship. It's where two or more are gathered, or two or three, I always say two or more, where two or three, but it could be more, are gathered in my name, in my nature and character, where the essence of who God is goes forth. That is a believer that receives the full reward, the one that gathers much more together as he sees the day approaching. You know, people do what they want to do. Plain and simple. People do what they want to do. Unless there is some underlying thing that they cannot avoid, like an ailment. There are people who are sick. They cannot do things. And that's not what I'm talking about. But the healthy person, people do what they want to do. And they may say, I have no choice, but that's not true. There is a choice. Maybe not comfort, but a choice. My choices for what is right are not always what is comfortable. Sometimes my choices for what is right will offend. But people will do what they want to do. Maybe I know that what is right will offend and I don't do it because I don't want to offend. Then I have done what I wanted to do. I wanted to placate somebody's flesh, and so I did not submit, perhaps, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I did what I wanted to do. If God is most important in my life and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I seek His kingdom first, then I will not do what I want to do. I will do, as Christ said, I do what I see my Father do. I will be led by God. I think way too often believers do not ask God. They do not seek His face. They make a decision according to their natural reasoning, natural evaluation. Oh, this is a good thing. Oh, I can't make them mad. Oh, excuse me. And who do you think in heaven may not be happy if you don't make them mad? you're going to do what you want to do. This is true for everybody. We do what we want to do. If I want to do what is the will of God, if I want to be led by Him, then I will seek His face, and I will be led by Him. And if He says, go there, then I will go there. If He says, stay here, then I will stay here. But I don't have to. I have a volition. And I can say, okay, I'm going to go there because I think it's a good thing. And maybe God says, you may think it's a good thing, but I don't. I don't know that unless I seek His face. Unless I get on my knees before Him and I ask God, lead me in this, order my steps, cause me to make the right decision, show me your will. And be careful, when you ask for God to show you His will, make sure you're available to have His will be shown to you. Don't just say, show me your will, and have a made-up mind. He won't violate your free volition. And He will allow you to do what you wanted to do because it's the more comfortable thing to your flesh, and you call it His will because it is actually your comfort, not His will, your will, not His, as opposed to thy will, not mine. And you call it, it is more comfortable, and your emotions are more satisfied with it, and so you appease your own self by saying, oh, that must be God's will. That's God's will. After all, He would not want me to be offensive. I don't know about that. Seems to me like Jesus offended plenty of people. What do you call them? Snakes and vipers? Whitewashed sepulchers? That was kind of a threw stone tables across the temple. You think He was really worried about offending people? Oh, I better not make them mad. They might think poorly of me. They might not get saved if I do that. I can't follow the will of God. They might not get saved. By the way, who do you think saves them anyway? You? Not you, boy. No. The Holy Spirit saves them. You follow the Holy Spirit, He'll take care of them. But we believers don't do that, because we have an element of the fear of man in us. If I do not richly fellowship in the Word of God, I will not receive a full reward. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me rejecteth not, and receiveth not my words. What does that mean to reject Christ, to not receive His word? It is possible for a believer who has been born again, albeit he will never lose his salvation, he can still reject Christ in a practical sense. He can reject His word. And in fact, he is rejecting Christ. And he says, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. If I was supposed to be, by the leading of the Spirit, by the call of God, present to hear a message, then that message is going to judge me at the Bema Seat. I will be evaluated on it, and I will be tested on it. And just because I wasn't there does not mean that the test will not come. Sometimes believers are in a fruitful ministry and they neglect the Word of God. They neglect the gathering together of themselves. And the test comes and they are not equipped. And that is not a good place to be. Now God will be merciful, But they will have a test to go through, and it may not be too easy. And sometimes they'll have to go through it like Job did a few times, and then God will work it in them. But it would have been much better for them to be properly equipped ahead of time, so when the test came, they had the right supply, so they could have the right response and the right faith for the situation. Now, there is another full reward. You see, every person, saved or not, will either receive or not receive a full reward. In Isaiah 66, and verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, and their worm shall die not, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. In Mark chapter 9, in verses 44, 46, and 48, the Word of God says, their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In Matthew 25, in verses 40 and 41, the Word of God says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have also done it unto me. If I have done it unto one of the least of the brethren, I have done it unto Christ. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And finally, in Matthew 24, and starting in verse 48, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That word portion means a part in measure and some degree. He will receive some degree. In hell, not everybody is equal. Everybody will be tormented to the maximum of their capacity. There are many people who do not know what that capacity will be. See, there are two places. There is hell, and there is the lake of fire. Right now, souls that were lost that never received Christ are in hell. And those who reject Christ ultimately, if they do not repent and get saved, in other words, if they do not receive Him as their Savior, they will go to hell. In hell, people will not know their full reward. Their full reward will come at the great white throne judgment at the end of Revelation. And only then will they know their full reward. The Hollywood crowd that puts in the movies or on television things that are perverse, they say to young people, follow your lusts. They teach young girls to be promiscuous and immoral. They will receive a full reward. They do not know what that reward will be because they do not know the effect of what they have done. But at the white throne, the reward will be revealed. And there will be weeping for some, and for others there will be gnashing of teeth. For some, they will receive part. In Matthew 24, it will be part. For others, they will receive the whole portion. In hell, people will be tormented to the maximum of their capacity. But the capacity for torment will be greater in some than in others. And we do not know, they will not know, what that capacity is. While they are in hell, they are in a holding area. That will not be their final state. You see, hell is beneath. It is in the center of the earth. It is beneath. But the heaven and the earth will pass away. Hell will pass away also. But their final place will not be hell. Their final place will be the lake of fire that is in the outer darkness. And there they will receive their full reward. The person, albeit who may have never gotten saved, but who lived a moral life, who tried to be kind, albeit human endeavor, who rejected Christ, lived in self-righteousness, but had some moral capacity, that person's reward will be different than, for example, that person who leads many to unrighteousness. This is why I don't like so much of what is put out by Hollywood. Not all of it is bad, but I'd say the vast majority is. When young people look at the television and they are taught, when things that the Word of God says should not even be mentioned are plastered all over the screen, and not only plastered, but they are taught to emulate these things. This is why so many Christian kids get into such problem because of the television or because of the movie theater. It appeals to their lust patterns. When advertisers appeal to lust patterns to sell a pair of tennis shoes or a pair of blue jeans or whatever it is that they happen to be selling, and while they are doing that, they are taking a person, young or old, but frequently young, because that's where it begins, that's who they often target, and they destroy their soul. They destroy their capacity for purity, for righteousness, for God, for proper response. And you get young girls making wrong decisions and young boys, but really frequently young girls, because they are the responder. And it is their soul and their capacity that suffers more greatly. And you get a young 13-year-old girl who starts to get rebellious at home because she has parents who are telling her to be pure and righteous and right before God, and to have a pure and holy and good life because they love her. And this young girl, because she is getting the wrong input from the wrong crowd, because they are all getting their source from the wrong source, and she starts getting rebellious and making wrong decisions and going towards promiscuity, and she starts dating and she starts making out, and then she goes the next step and the next step, and ultimately she's pregnant and her life becomes destroyed, and sometimes she gets a disease. And this young girl's capacity for God has been destroyed because her soul has been infectious, her pure conscience has been scarred, her capacity has been destroyed, she is no longer able to respond. Those people with whom it started will receive the reward of what they did to her life. That innocuous box is not so innocuous. That innocuous box is frequently poisonous. And believers receive it into their soul. Well, those people will receive a full reward in hell. Mark my words, I don't care what anyone believes, the Word of God is true. And it will be so as the Word of God has said. Those people who put that out for that young girl to fall into their snare will receive a full reward. And their capacity in hell for suffering will be immense. You see, not everybody in hell suffers equally. Not everybody in the lake of fire will have the same experience. The capacity of some for that torment is going to be immense. The torment will be maximum to each person's capacity. It's the capacities that vary. They will receive a full reward. And they will not know what that reward is because they have not known the impact of their actions. These celebrity types, and I'm not talking about all of them, but there are plenty of them who walk around promoting vile behavior, vile lifestyles, filthiness. And they are acclaimed by the world because there is actually a demon that is in charge of giving them acclaim. They are acclaimed by the world. They are highly regarded. They are treated like a king or a princess when they are nothing more than someone who has sold out any purity and righteousness for fame and money. That person, albeit acclaimed on earth, shall receive a full reward in hell unless they get saved. There is a full reward coming that the believer desires. There is a full reward coming that the unbeliever would rather avoid. But everyone will receive some reward. As a believer, I hoped for the full reward. There are five things the Word of God says are necessary. The number one thing that is necessary for a full reward in heaven is that I have the right pastor-teacher. Without the right pastor-teacher, I cannot receive my full reward. The number two thing is categorical doctrine. My pastor may not call it categorical doctrine, it doesn't matter, but that's what it is. The full counsel of God taught in categories. The doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of hope, the doctrine of joy, the doctrine of the finished work, the doctrine of mercy. And he may not handle it in an academic setting, like a teacher in an academic institution would, or maybe he will. However, he is led by God, but he teaches categorical doctrine. The third thing I need is the finished work, grace, mercy, and love of God working in my heart. The fourth thing I need to be in a place where the great commandment is practiced. Love one another as I have loved you. And that great commandment needs to be worked into my heart through the practice and learning from that place. And the fifth thing that I need to be in a place where the Great Commission is obeyed. Where I learn in whatever capacity I can to obey that Great Commission also. Without those five things, I cannot receive a full reward. There is one last thing that will give the believer a full reward. And this is one that most believers don't want. It is a difficult one. And most believers, I believe, don't experience it, although many do. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:7, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ." I cannot receive a full reward unless I allow God to put me into the trial of my faith. Unless I am willing to enter into the furnace, I will not receive a full reward. In 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 13, the Word of God says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." And the believer who will suffer with Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 will reign with Him. Only the believer who receives his full reward will reign with Christ, because he must suffer with Him. See, I cannot receive a full reward unless I am willing to undergo suffering. Many believers are not. Many believers, when they go through a trial, they turn to their flesh. They don't allow God's character to be worked in them. Now, the thing that will not keep me from a full reward is my failure, if my failure is simply one of weakness and not of rebellion. But if my failure is one of weakness, as long as I get up again, I will still receive my full reward. Not that I fail, not that I give a provision to fail, but all of us are human and all of us will fail. That does not disqualify us from the full reward. What would is if I do not get up again. My failures are failures of weakness or ignorance, not of rebellion or stubbornness or hardness of heart. But if they are simply weaknesses, they will not keep me from a full reward, because God will teach me and He will cause me to stand, and I will still receive that full reward. In my life, God will bring circumstances which will allow me to receive a full reward. If I respond in positive volition, if I respond positively to the leading of the Spirit, if I respond positively when He leads me to the right pastor teacher, if I respond positively to the finished work, grace, message, the Word of God, if I respond positively and let the Word of God produce the love of God in me to where it is shed abroad in my heart, if I respond positively whereby I have the heart of God and love of God for the lost, that I become a soul winner, where if I respond positively to gathering together with God's people, to fellowshipping around God's Word, to being rightly related to the Word, to be properly submitted to God's table of organization in the Word of God, if I respond positively to receive and receive as much as I am able to receive, if I respond positively when the trial comes, and though I may fail, but ultimately I will respond like Job in positive volition, then I will receive my full reward. Then I will be the one that God calls an overcomer. Then I will be part of the morning star. Then I will be those that reign with Him. Then I will eat at the tree of life. Then I will be among those who are closest to God, because it is those that will reign with Him that will be closest to Him, because they will have His mercy and His love and His heart. They will also have the need, because they will be reigning. Then I will have a full reward. Amen.